Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How are you, J-Mike?
Terrific, gentlemen. Good to catch up. How you been?
Same here, man.
Not as good as you, man. Mr. Emmy Award winner. Congratulations.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very humbling, Kenny. It obviously takes a great team, and I give a lot of credit to our folks at Valley Sports. But, special. We feel blessed and everything else. So, we're proud and looking forward to another year of Cavs basketball coming up before we know it. It's rolling around again.
Can you believe it's been 5 years since you called that on the radio? You were in Golden State. They're down 3-1. They come all the way back. Kyrie hits the shot, and then the celebration begins. Can you believe it's been 5 years?
You know what's funny, Kenny, is that part of me feels like that feels like it was decades ago, yeah. Doesn't it? Like not five years, like 25 years ago. And at the same time, there are memories of that run and memories of that Game 7 and memories of that locker room that feel like yesterday. I mean, I could tell you about just like they happened 24 hours ago. So the parade and everything else, right? Those memories are still fresh in a lot of our minds. So it's crazy. It really is strange to think back that it's been five full years already since that Game 7.
You know, that series, John, you think about it, you lose the first three games, right?
No, they were down 3-1. They lost a winnable Game 4 at home to go down 3-1.
Okay.
Flying out to Golden State for Game 5.
So you're looking at this, and a team that had won, what, 73 games in the regular season, it was a juggernaut anyway. Did you ever think it was any way possible they could come back and win that series?
JT, think about this. When that Cavs team got on the plane to go out for Game 5, Golden State combined at Oracle Arena in the regular season and the playoffs was 50-3. They played 53 games and only lost three times, and the Cavs had to beat them twice in their building. And, oh, by the way, win Game 6 in between. I tell you what, though, they got on that plane, and there was an odd sense of confidence. You know, I just got to talk to Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye just a couple of days ago also to commemorate the five-year anniversary, and they said, you know what, we knew we had the best two players in the series, in LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. He said it wasn't about Golden State. We knew what they were going to do. It was just about us. And this air of confidence, authentic confidence on the plane, you could feel it. It was palpable. I mean, they weren't going out there for a funeral. They were going out there to win Game 5. They said they knew they were going to win Game 6 back at home. I mean, that crowd was unbelievable. Crazy, wild. It still gives me goosebumps to think about it. And then go back and try to take care of business in Game 7. But, no, I mean, 32 teams had tried, JT. In finals history, 32 NBA teams had fallen down 3-1. All 32 had failed until the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now. Game 3, the Cavaliers blow that team out 120-90. And yet, how are they able to do this defensively in Game 7? And you hold Golden State to 89 points. Now, the Cavaliers only scored 93. Hey, 1 point is enough to win a game. But how are they able to do it defensively?
Well, they had to slow the game down. It makes me smile, JT, because it makes me think about your partner, Kenny. And I know Kenny doesn't like what he calls the stanky leg offense, but, man, when you're playing Golden State, if they can get up and down, you better play stanky leg. You better play slow, because if you try to get into a 130-120 shootout, you're going to lose that game. So LeBron slowed it down. They ate clock. Was it ugly at times? Yeah, it was ugly at times throughout the entire playoffs. But they did what they had to do, particularly against Golden State. They knew what they had to do. And you think about that was one of the most prolific offensive teams that this sport has ever seen. And you said that the final score was 93-89. Mm-hmm. You know, that game was tied at 89 for what seemed like 45 minutes. You know, for about the last 4 minutes of the ball game, Golden State simply didn't score. The Cavs shut them out defensively the rest of the way. Kyrie hits the shot. They add another free throw and win at 93-89. So, yeah, they knew what they – like I said, they knew what they had to do. They had to slow that pace down, slow the game down. They made their shots when they had to, dug in defensively, and the rest, I guess, is history.
Yeah, what a great memory. A great call by you. And three iconic possessions. The block by LeBron James. The shot by Kyrie. Kevin Love playing defense for the only time he's ever played defense for the Cavaliers. And he picked a good time to do it on Steph Curry. And they win the championship. What, besides those three, is there an unheralded moment that stands out in your mind? Or is there an unsung hero that stands out in your mind as you look back on that, that doesn't get enough run or talk?
Yeah, and the first thing that steps out, Kenny, if you're talking about Game 7 in particular, J.R. Smith came out of the locker room. This team was down 7 or 8 and unloaded early in the third. I think he scored 8 quick points, hit 2 threes, at least 2 threes. It might have been 3 threes. Came out and just set the game right. You know, and again, talking to Richard and talking to Channing, there was a lot of unrest in that locker room. Guys were barking at each other and everything else. Oracle was bananas, right? I mean, the place was jumping. It was bouncing. JR came out, and he leveled the playing field. And from there on out, it was just a dogfight, right? From there on out, they just butted heads the rest of the way. JR Smith in that series was phenomenal. Tristan Thompson, they can't play that kind of defense that holds Golden State to 89 points if you can't switch Tristan onto a Steph Curry to guard him for 4, 5, 6 seconds in a possession. Same with Klay Thompson. Cavs switched that matchup throughout. If you don't have a versatile big who can get out there and do that, you're sunk. And so those two, to me, yeah, you talk about Kyrie, you talk about LeBron. You don't win that series if you don't have either of those two players. I throw Richard Jefferson into that boat, too. You don't have him eating up those 24 minutes off the bench, forget it. You know, they needed every single one of those guys because that was basically as close as it gets in a series in a Game 7. So those are the names that jump out. They needed them all, Kenny. I mean, the Cavs aren't champions that, you know, and that window closes with no championships. I mean, we see this in the NBA with a handful of teams. Oklahoma City stands out. I mean, they had Harden, they had Westbrook, they had Durant. They had those years where they got close. And it's gone, right? And now they're at the bottom of the barrel. They're looking up and they say, what just happened? Philadelphia's on the verge of this happening. If Philly lets this slip away, they went through the process of being awful for 5 years. You know, you look back and you think, can you imagine if the Cavs lost all four of those finals? You know, how would we feel as fans? What would that feel like as an organization? They got it, right? They got it in 2016. That, to me, is a big part of what's special because – as you know, in the NBA cycle of life, that window closes pretty quickly, and the Cavs were able to pick up that championship 5 years ago.
John, when Kyrie, we all know the big points of that game, and you're right, man. That second half, JR comes out and basically wins the game for you, but there were so many big plays. The Kyrie, the shot, the block, Kevin Love's defense, and as you mentioned, even Tristan Thompson gets into the act. But at 53 seconds left, when Kyrie hits that shot, I'm thinking to myself, and I was stuck in Columbus. I'll never, you know where you were when Kennedy got shot. You know where you were at 9/11. You know where you were when the Cavaliers won the championship. I was stuck in Columbus because we had a country concert down there, and I was watching, and everybody came out, and it was a Luke Bryan concert. I'll never forget it. But the thing is, we saw this. Kyrie hits the shot, and I'm thinking to myself, this is over. They just won this thing. They're not going to be able to come back no matter what happens. We've seen crazy point swings, but I didn't think it was evident. When did you realize that, hey, we just won this thing? Was it when zero's honestly on the board?
Yeah, honestly, goodness, JT, until that horn sounded.
Really?
And it was so intense. And maybe this is part of being a broadcaster, a play-by-play guy, because you're so locked in normally. But in a situation like that, it's so amped up. Everything's on the line. You want to call everything so accurately for those who were stuck and not by a TV, right?
Yeah.
Be able to relay each and every detail, and you're so locked in. He hits that shot with 53 seconds. It never even occurred to me like this is over. It's close to being over, particularly considering, you know, high-powered Golden State.
Sure.
They erased that in a possession or two, mm-hmm. right? You know, so that didn't happen. Remember, too, with 10 seconds left, LeBron got fouled. Okay, Cavs up 3. So LeBron goes to the line, and, you know, ordinarily you'd think he makes one of these, we're out of here, that's it. Unless the Cavs make a mistake, it's a two-possession game. He missed the first. At that point, I'll tell you, that I started thinking, oh, my, please don't tell me this city is cursed. Because if he misses this second one, I guarantee you Golden State's going to come down and hit a 3. You know, so to tell you the truth, even after LeBron hit the shot, it quickly, you know, the 10 seconds rolled by, but at no point did I exhale. At no point, I don't think, I'll tell you this, I've asked players that too. At no point did they exhale until it was over, until that final horn sounded, and they stormed the floor. So it was that intense in that game seven. And while that shot by Kyrie is one that obviously will be remembered for a long, long time, by no means for many of us did it signal the end of that game seven.
Love having John Michael on with us today via the Wake 'em Way hotline. Tomorrow will be the fifth anniversary already of the Cavaliers winning their only NBA championship in Game 7 over the Warriors. And Jay, Mike, I want to go back to something you said about the stanky leg and eating clock and shortening the game a la the Mike Fratello teams in the 90s and everything like that in a Game 7, because I just looked at all the box scores. The Warriors, when they beat the Cavaliers, they just didn't beat the Cavaliers in that series. They destroyed the Cavaliers in that series by 15, by 33. And while it was 11 in one game, it was a lot more than 11. How were the Cavaliers able, besides the stanky leg, to hold them to 13 points in the fourth quarter? And if memory serves me correct, John Michael, I don't think Golden State scored for the last 2 minutes in that game.
I think it was about 4 minutes, Ken, you know, because I
really
memory from about at least from about the 3.5 minute mark, that game was tied at 89 until Kyrie hit the shot. So there were about,
okay.
I'm not even exaggerating, I think there were 8, 9, 10 possessions that either ended in missed shots or turnovers where nobody scored down the stretch. I tell you part of it, Kenny, I think, and again, I keep referring to this, but it's fresh in my mind, and hearing it from the players is a lot, you know, better than hearing it from me. But Jefferson and Fry thought that Golden State had had it by that point. I mean, they were beat up and tired. Mm-hmm. You remember, too, I mean, a lot was made. They went 73-9. They were trying to win 70 games. Then they were trying to break the all-time record for regular season wins. That's a lot of basketball, you know, and you don't do that with backups. You don't rest guys too much down the stretch if you're trying to do that. I think part of it was that it was two tired teams. And you said the Cavs knew what they had to do. If Golden State scores 105, it's over, right? They score 105, 106.
Right.
Look at the box score. Game's over. Mm-hmm. Forget about it. You're just not going to beat them. So you have to play that way. And I think both teams were gassed down the stretch. I think both teams were dead tired. We saw a lot of that over those last 4 minutes. So, you know, I think that played into it. But again, the pace, you know, Tyronn Lue, we're even seeing it now. He's a very good in-game, in-series adjuster. You know, he's doing it with the Clippers now without Kawhi. He's made moves to that series after they once again got off to a bad start in a series. But he's getting it figured out, right? And I think in a big way the Cavs did that after Game 4. They kept the scores low, and that's how they managed to be the first team ever to win Games 5, 6, and 7 in an NBA final.
How about this, guys? There were 20 lead changes in that game and 11 ties, okay? And like you said, the biggest tie was stuck at 89-89. And how many times guys came down? I remember one time when Steph got lazy and tried a behind-the-back pass to Klay Thompson on the right wing, and it went out of bounds, which was a huge turnover. LeBron took a shot, couldn't score. And then Kyrie, you know, stepping up on one of his favorite spots, and you know this from watching him pregame and all that. He's got his routine he goes through, and that right wing for him, LeBron, it's the left wing three, right? With Kyrie, it's the right wing three. They have their favorite go-to spots, and when I saw him over there isolating, I was like, okay, this is a good thing, because they got him in his comfort zone over there with Steph Curry on him to hit that shot.
I agree, and I thought the cushion by Curry, and again, this is, you know, Monday morning quarterback, you look back. But the cushion by Curry, I mean, he has help behind. He has a lot of bigs in that lane to give Kyrie that kind of a cushion. And Kyrie made a brilliant sidestep move to clear himself just enough to get that shot off. But in retrospect, you think, I think I might have been crowding Kyrie a little bit more. You know, they have the scouting reports too, Kenny, you know, and that's a sweet spot for Kyrie. You're dead right. But he managed to get himself open, clear himself. That's what the great ones do. And he hit the biggest shot in Cavalier history.
John, talk a little bit about Oracle Arena, the post game, the ride back to the hotel, and then, of course, the flight home. What was all of this like to you?
Well, it's interesting you ask. First of all, the locker room, something, you know, that you never forget. As wild as you could imagine. You turn the corner, Jamie Foxx is there in the locker room. People that you never believe would be in the light. How did this guy get here? And you're jumping around and spraying champagne with Jamie Foxx and you know, people like that in the locker room. It was phenomenal. There were three planes, actually, that went back. The first plane took back – usually there's only one. We all travel with the team together. First plane took back friends and family. The player plane went directly to Vegas. So they were in Vegas for about 5 hours before they arrived back in Cleveland and got off the plane with everybody there. For the middle plane, and that's where I was, some of the front office people, they took us to a we ended up getting delayed because the flight crew wasn't available or something like that. We ended up at like a Holiday Inn in San Francisco that they kept open until about 4:30 in the morning because we had nowhere to go. So we were in the hotel bar celebrating the Cavaliers championship for, what, about 6.5 hours in a Holiday Inn at near the airport in San Francisco. So that's how it all went down in terms of coming back. It was, you know, something special. We all landed at the two ladder planes landed at about the same time. So many people were there at the airport, and just it's somewhat of a blur, as you might imagine, but right. Think back to that locker room, and it was, again, authentic in that the players knew what they had done for Northeast Ohio. I think they understood the gravity and the magnitude and the weight that had been lifted off of everybody's shoulders, and guys, and how close it came to not happening, right? I mean, still the shock of winning, and in the way it happened, was still fresh, but players still understood just how much that meant, and that really hit home with me in terms of that they knew just what they did for the region and just how important that championship was and still is.
John Michael, reflecting back on what will be 5 years ago tomorrow, the Cavaliers' only NBA championship. And John Michael, we always hear about players talking about wanting to be in Game 7 with the the clock winding down and taking that game-winning shot and being the hero. As broadcasters, we all want to call that game, right? We want to be there and be the voice of Hank Aaron's 715th home run like Milo Hamilton or the Cavaliers winning a championship like John Michael. What was it like for you? What did it mean for you to be the voice that was calling the Cavaliers' only championship and ending that drought as you laid out in your description on the radio?
Well, I mean, to me, Kenny, that's what you get in the business to do, you know, and you prepare yourself every game like it is a Game 7, and then if you're one of the few fortunate ones who actually gets to call a Game 7 and it goes in your team's favor, you know, you just consider yourself really, really fortunate. And that's, you know, all the years and years of preparation that you hope it culminates in something like that. And believe me, it's not lost on me how special that is and how there are broadcasters in this league who have been here for 3-4 decades who, you know, have barely sniffed the playoffs. We were fortunate to be able to go the whole way. So you prepare yourself for that moment. People ask me about that final call, and you can't really script it out, right? Because it's going to end up sounding scripted. But what you do is you prepare yourself the best way possible. You get ready for that moment. When it hits, if it happens, you just let it rip and you just feel it. And I kept repeating to myself, keep your composure so that your listeners can lose theirs. And I kept saying it over and over and over again to myself as I was going through this, because man, emotions were really running high out there on the floor and everything else. So you prepare yourself. You hope that everything comes out the right way. And like I said, you just consider yourself fortunate that you ever find yourself in a position like that in a Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Jay, Mike, years from now, and we're still going to remember this, because especially now that you've got the internet, you can relive these moments any time you like. But let's say years from now when these guys are no longer playing, the Kyries are gone, and the LeBron James hangs it up finally in about another 10 years, whatever it is. How many of these jerseys, how many of these numbers get retired? And hopefully we've got at least a couple of more championships by then. If what we aspire to become is one of these young teams that we're seeing that are still alive in the playoffs, how many of these jerseys get retired? How many do we see in the rafters? All of them?
Wow, is that a good question? I don't know. And again, I think some of that still remains to be seen with a number of these guys, I guess. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. You think about, to me, right off the top, numbers, players who may end up there, LeBron, Kyrie, Love, and Tristan, mm-hmm. right? Anybody? Am I missing anybody, Kenny or JC?
No.
Anybody else on that list who, right? I mean, that's, those are the four.
Kenny likes Kyle Korver, even though he wasn't on that team that year.
No, forget Kyle Korver. Make a damn shot, and we'd be talking about maybe a second championship. But anyways, no, I think you nailed the four, J. Mike.
Yeah, I think if anyone's going up in there, it's one of those four. But that's hard to say, right? I mean, there are stories behind each and every one of those guys. And, you know, three of them at least will not be ending their careers as Cleveland Cavaliers, or at least it appears that way. Right. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go up, but if you're trying to narrow it down into players who someday may end up in the Raptors, have their numbers up in the Raptors, I think that you got to be looking at those four.
All right. No disrespect to some of the players that are up there right now, J. Mike, because they never won anything. They brought great memories, got to a conference championship, but never won anything, right, other than maybe a division title. If some of those guys that are already up there have their numbers up there, then there is no doubt in my mind that the four you mentioned will have their numbers retired and hanging from the rafters. There's no doubt in my mind. You have to put the four champions, the first ever championship, right? The heart and soul of the team, the high draft picks, the lottery picks, and the big trade. Those four, to me, are no-brainers. The Cavaliers would be foolish not to put all four up there.
Yeah, it's certainly a good argument. I don't think there's any question, Kenny. I think it's definitely a good argument. Like I said, I think that's where you start and end with that team, those four.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
feel good about players like Richard Jefferson. You feel good about Channing Frye. You feel good that season about J.R. Smith. But to me, those are the four core guys. And, you know, they
wait a second. You can't put J.R.'s jersey up there. He'd go up there and rip it off just like he did his shirt during the parade.
I tell you what, every time we talk about J.R., I miss that guy. I mean, say what you want about J.R. Smith, but shirtless J.R. for about 10 days after that title was priceless. You know, one of the misunderstood guys, I guess you could say, in the NBA, but I miss J.R. Yeah, I think it's those 4K, and I think that's a very realistic and a very good argument in terms of those numbers being retired.
All right, real quick, as we've relived 5 years ago tomorrow, the championship, JT brought it up, the NBA draft lottery on the 22nd, the NBA draft coming up at the end of July, Isaac Okoro named yesterday second team All-NBA rookie. I'm not as high on what the Cavaliers are doing right now, but I didn't get to see them play like you did every game. Give me your thoughts on the draft lottery, the draft, and this team. Is it primed to be the next Atlanta Hawks? As Kobe Altman told me, that's a fair comparison.
Yeah, we'll see, Ken. I mean, we'll see. I think that's where this team wants to be headed. You know, a Phoenix Suns-type situation where a lot of these kids were homegrown for the Suns. But I think Kobe Altman's the first one to tell you they have some work to do. I mean, there's no question. Do I think this is an important draft? Yeah. Do I think this is an important lottery? I do. I mean, you're aware, you know, like a lot of basketball fans, there are tiers in terms of the kids coming out, and you hope to be on top of one of those tiers and when when this lottery situation comes down. I would have loved, you know, it went under the radar about a week ago, but the Cavs lost a coin flip that slid them from fourth to fifth in terms of the NBA lottery, which means that if they get jumped by one team, they slide into the sixth spot, could conceivably slide even lower. That may come into play in terms of trying to, you know, move up tiers or select the guy you want to select. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think it is a big summer. I think there's, you know, how this team looks coming into next season. There's Kobe Altman's the first one to admit there's some work to do, and we're going to have to find out what this team looks like. I think, you know, they're committed, you know, or at least that's what we've heard, to bringing back Jared Allen, which I think is excellent. I think that was a huge part of the season, of being able to pull him in the multi-team deal that sent Harden to Brooklyn. But, yeah, I think they do have work to do, and we're going to find out where they end up in the lottery here in just a couple of days. And then it's going to be a big, important draft for this team, which, again, is trying to add young pieces and turn this team into a team that more closely resembles that of a Hawks team or that of a – I like the comparison of the Suns team better. And, again, they're at a different tier right now. They had a player like Chris Paul. He gets them all aligned and everything else. But, to me, that's the team you want to look at. You know, because the Suns, just a couple of seasons ago, before James Jones became the GM, they were struggling. I mean, that team was at the bottom of the barrel in the Western Conference. They've really made themselves something in just a couple of years. I think that's where the Cavs would like to be.
Jay, Mike, you're the best. We always appreciate the time, especially today on short notice. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great summer, and we'll talk to you again here in the not-too-distant future once we find out about that draft lottery, all right?
Sounds good. Always catching up, guys. Take care.
There he is, one of the best guys on planet Earth, one of the smartest guys on planet Earth, and he's still a lawyer, even though he's your play-by-play guy and an Emmy Award-winning play-by-play guy for the Cavaliers. John Michael joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show.